This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Michael Penn is a musician in a family of actors that includes brothers Sean and Christopher. Michael Penn is a songwriter, singer, and guitarist who has also started writing film music. He composed music for the film Boogie Nights and scored that director's first film, Hard Eight. Penn's first CD, March, was released in 1989 and made it into the top 40. His latest CD is called Resigned. Let's start with a song from it called Me Around. Michael Penn from his new CD, Resigned. Michael Penn, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thanks.
That's a really catchy tune. Any stories behind writing it?
No, not particularly. Just sort of, the general notion of the song occurred to me, and I decided to go the funny route on the lyric. So,
was there an alternate version that was about pure misery?
generally, sort of, it can start either on either end of that, and I don't think there was a version, but I was like sort of just sort of struggling through how I was going to say this particular song, and I just decided to go to the extreme.
Now, when did the rhythm come to you?
They're all different that way, and this one, if I can remember it right, I probably sort of came up with that sort of initial chord progression, and it just sort of had that sort of swing feel to it. So it was all sort of suggested by the chord progression for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, you came from a film family, not just your brothers, but your father, Leo Penn, was an actor and screenwriter, your mother, Eileen Ryan, a stage actress. When did you start to feel the pull of music?
Really young, like when I was probably around 7. And I don't really know why, but it just like, oh, that's what I want to do.
What were the first records that you heard?
The first ones were probably, you know, kid records, Disney records or something. And then somebody at some point gave me a Beatle record. And then I said, oh, well, this is boss, or some word
or
of the
cool
time.
Or groovy, whatever.
Yeah, and so that was it. You know, that was like, okay, as I got older, do some chores and save up for something that were once called 45s, and that's what I would do with my loot.
Now, so. Clearly, in listening to your records, the Beatles were a strong influence on you. I think in your songwriting, the arrangements you have, and in your singing as well, what do you think you heard in them as a child? I mean, a lot of people responded to like their fame and to their charisma. What were you hearing in their records?
Well, there was just such an energy about them, and I mean, it was like one of the things that I was. When I was sort of reassessing what I was doing musically before my first record, one of the things that just sort of struck me as I was going back listening to old Beatle records again was they made acoustic guitars really powerful. And that was sort of the MO behind No Myth in a way, which was, you know, acoustic guitars don't have to be these sort of tender and precious things. They can be, you know, really powerful rock instruments and sort of evoke that kind of emotion.
Well, I like what you were saying about the Beatles showing the power of acoustic guitars. Why don't we listen to No Myth, which was from your first CD and I believe made it into the top 20?
Yes.
The lyric in No Myth is kind of about not being larger than life. So it's easy to someone for someone to break up with you because you're not a myth, you're not larger than life. Is that what you were thinking about when you wrote it?
No, actually, I was thinking more about sort of the notion of romantic icons in and sort of how a lot of people are looking for certain things within relationships that I think are sort of reflected in literature in romantic literature and how I think we have forgotten by and large that these are not attributes to sort of be held up. I mean, Romeo and Juliet is a tragedy. It's not good. You know, I mean, it's like that. These are stories of warning. There's a term that psychologists have for this phenomenon called limerence, which is not love, which feels like love, which a lot of people think is love, but is high drama and desperation and all these kinds of things that sort of are much more tied in with sort of, you know, parental issues than actually the person that you're, you know, staring at longfully.
Now, do you feel in relationships you're the one who does this or has it done too?
Oh, I've been guilty of both positions on that.
All right. Well, let's hear No Myth, and this is Michael Penn. That's Michael Penn from his first CD, No Myth, and his latest CD is called Resigned. Now, you also did some of the music for Boogie Nights. Most of the music in the movie is disco hits from the 70s, but there's some original music that you co-wrote. Tell me how you got to do some of the score for the movie, and I should mention you also did some of the score for Hard Eight, which was Paul Thomas Anderson's first film.
Well, he apparently liked what I did and started calling me up, insisting that I look at this movie that he had made, which at the time was called Sydney, which became Hard Eight, and I didn't really want to get involved in film scoring particularly, and was kind of ignoring him. But Paul's a very energetic, persistent guy and finally got me down to a screening of this film that he had made, which I really, really liked and thought was really unusual and agreed to do it. And it was a really good experience. And I think an experience that was fairly unique and sort of eliminated some of my fears about scoring movies, which mostly sort of centered around the idea of doing music that, you know, a committee of people would be sort of passing judgment on and making changes to. And the relationship with Paul was really sort of one-on-one and, like, you know, him describing what he was going for and trying to find stuff. And it was just a lot of fun. And then he made Boogie Nights and did that as well.
This is kind of gloomy circus march music. What about that seemed appropriate for a film about the pornography industry in the 70s and 80s?
Well, you know, it's about those people who are involved in pornography in the 70s or the 80s. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I was trying to address was sort of the very, very sad kind of freak show aspect of of this family that's created, of this sort of circus family that's that, you know, is the best that they can do because of their own pasts and their own troubles in their own lives, and I, you know, it was just trying to find something that captured that and also captured the sadness of it.
So here's the big top theme that you wrote for Boogie Nights, performed by you and keyboard player Patrick Warren, who's also featured on your own records. So here it is from Boogie Nights. Side musically of you than your songs do. Just a completely different sound, different type of instrumentation.
Well, sort of honing in on an aspect of instrumentation that I've used. That's actually almost entirely an instrument called the Chamberlain, and it's an instrument that for some reason I've felt a kinship with for a long, long time. I had this band in Los Angeles called Doll Congress for a long time before my first album, and we used that. Patrick was in that band, and it's just a kind of a remarkable contraption.
Why don't you describe it a little more?
Well, it's essentially an antiquated sampler. It was invented in the 40s by a guy named Harry Chamberlain here in California, and the intention of it was sort of to be a parlor instrument for people to entertain their friends. And he just kind of kept developing it. And basically what it is a keyboard. And when you press down a key, it pushes an 8-track analog tape against a tape head. And so I think it has 32 keys on the model that I use. And essentially that means that there are 32 little tape recorders inside this box and 8 different sounds. So in the Big Top theme, there's that sort of calliope organ is one sound on it, and the violins are one sound that come at the end, and the cellos are another, and all those things.
My guest is songwriter, singer, and guitarist Michael Penn. His latest CD of songs is called Resigned. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Michael Penn is my guest. His latest CD of his own songs is called Resigned, and he also does music that's on the Boogie Nights soundtrack. I want to ask you about growing up. I know you moved to Los Angeles when you were 2, is that right?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Where did your family live before that?
Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. So did you grow up in a very film industry-oriented world?
Not really, no. I mean, my parents moved out to California, and my dad, who was an actor in New York, they came out here as actors, and my dad started to get work directing television, and it was just sort of like that was a world that really didn't. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, they were hobnobbing with celebrities or anything. It was, you know, they had this a small circle of friends that were not necessarily in show business, you know, and he just kind of just kept working, and occasionally, you know, I would see somebody growing up that I would go, oh, I've seen that guy on TV or whatever. But it was not, you know, it wasn't like celebrity and show business and all those things were not really a part of any of our lives. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like that's not what home was about for us.
I just got an Ida Lupino movie, a film directed by her that I haven't watched yet, called Not Wanted, that mm-hmm. your father's featured in.
That's right, yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I have. He's suave boy. There's one scene where he takes a cigarette and flicks it, and I go, God, man, Dad, cool. yeah, that was sort of an early. It's kind of a racy movie at the time. It caused a bit of a stir because it was Ida Lupino and B it was about an unwanted pregnancy. My dad plays this sort of roguish jazz musician, which was kind of interesting.
Oh, now I really want to watch it. Mm. Now, I think your father also wrote and directed episodes of Starsky and Hutch and Lost in Space. Did you watch those shows?
I think he did direct some Starsky. He didn't write any of those. He directed. He directed some Starsky and Hutch. He directed some Columbos, which I still enjoy watching when those come on. He did a lot of TV. He did a lot of Marcus Welby's and Bonanzas, and he did a Star Trek. I mean, he probably gets more attention as a director from this Star Trek episode just because the fans are so sort of fervent out there. What else did he direct? He did, you know, just 70s TV. He was like, you know, he was doing a lot of it.
Your father was blacklisted. Yeah. What was your understanding of that as a child?
My understanding of it as a child was zilch. But obviously, later on, as I sort of began to understand what he went through, you know, before I was born, really, it was just kind of astonishing to me a profound and personal way to sort of understand that period of this country's history and go, well, my dad was personally affected by this and you know, how the country kind of went crazy for a while, or at least part of the country did. It certainly affected him. It certainly affected the choices that he made in his life. He was dealt that card, and he did amazing things with it. You know, he cut it up and put it together again in a pretty incredible way.
Did he do a lot of television work because of the movie Blacklisted?
I think that things relaxed a bit in California before, or I guess stage was still a problem in New York, and television was a little bit easier. So he started doing some live TV, and once he started doing television, I think California was the place that it was centered in, so they moved.
My guest is songwriter, singer, and guitarist Michael Penn. His latest CD is called Resigned. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is songwriter, singer, and guitarist Michael Penn. His latest CD is called Resigned. Now, obviously, not only were your parents actors, but your brother Sean and Christopher are actors too. Did you ever have an interest in that yourself? And did you ever feel like you ought to?
I never felt like I ought to. No, I didn't have an interest in it. I mean, maybe it was because it was the family business, you know, and I mean, everybody else was. But I think it was more just the fact that I had a real sort of instinctual response to music early and kind of held to it. And it continued to hold fascination for me. And be something that I wanted to do.
Your brother Sean Penn became famous before you started recording and making a name for yourself. And I'm wondering if you ever got worried, you know, that he'd become really famous and that your music wouldn't catch on, and you know, that fame would be, you know, hard to get, and you know, and all the kind of sibling rivalry type stuff.
Well, I was involved with this band Doll Congress, and we were sort of in our own struggles of trying to get signed and dealing with all that stuff. And Sean was working as an actor, and his career was starting to grow. I was happy and supportive of what he was doing, and didn't really think about any of those issues. I wasn't feeling any kind of sibling rivalry. I mean, had he been a musician and been, you know, very successful, that probably would have been difficult. But then later, when my first album came out, I was very sort of paranoid about it, mostly because not having anything to do with Sean as a person, but just because I, growing up, was very aware of sort of the phenomenon of showbiz families, and just had a real sort of gut level revulsion to them. Not speaking about any of these people as people, but just the notion, because it's such a press created kind of freak show thing. It's like, you know, especially when you consider that the creative arts are sort of a way to deal with dysfunction. It's like let's parade that, and oh, by the way, look, here's a whole family of them, you know. So.
Tell me more about what you observed about the phenomenon of showbiz families.
Well, just the nepotism, you know, just the sort of the freak show aspect of it, like the sort of tabloid magazine notion of it. You know, I don't know. I don't even have a very articulate sort of an analysis of this that I've constructed. It was more just like, I don't want to hear about that. I don't, you know. And then when I got signed and my record came out and it became clear to me that there was going to be a focus on the fact that Sean and I were brothers, I became a little paranoid about it. Just like, you know, I don't want to talk about that. I just do not want to talk about it. You know, I want this to be about this music and not about, I didn't want the issue to be, here's a showbiz family. I just didn't want that to be in there. And then naturally, because this is the way it works, the fact that I didn't want to talk about it became the issue, you know?
Right. Yes, like, I've read many articles about you saying, yeah, and he wouldn't even talk about his brother, Sean.
Well, no, but even that was one aspect of it, but even another aspect of it was just like, yeah, he's Sean Penn's brother, but you know what? It doesn't matter. You know? You know
yes,
what I mean?
Right, yes.
So it had to be in there right. In some way, in some context. And so, you know, I was right, you know, that just as an example, People Magazine very early on my first album wanted to do a story on me. Now there was no reason for People Magazine to want to do a story on me. The record wasn't charted yet. You know, it was just starting to sort of bubble under and blah, 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 blah. It was, you know, it was all about the family connection. And, you know, you just don't want to do that.
Yeah. So but, in retrospect, do you think you handled that well?
You know, I think I probably could have handled it better, but I think I made the right decision,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to play something else from your latest CD, Resign. And we were talking earlier about the influence of the Beatles on your music. And on the last track of your latest CD, I Can Tell, I think you can hear that really clearly in the piano that opens it up, in your singing, and in the string arrangements. You know,
although there's a nod to David Bowie at the end. The end is sort of a little tip of the hat to Life on Mars.
Ah, okay. Mm. Okay. You know, it's something I find interesting about... Your singing seems very influenced by John Lennon, would you say?
Not consciously. I'm sure it is, you know. I mean, as far as, like, the Beatles go, that stuff's just so locked in my gray matter that, you know, it's like I was weaned on that. So,
right.
So that stuff comes out. But, you know, that's the way I sing.
Okay, well, this is I Can Tell from Michael Penn's latest CD, Resigned. And, Michael Penn, thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.